one of the wonderful privileges that we have as moms and as dads is to shape the clay that we are molding.
It has been said that a mother understands what a child does not say. Hi, I'm Dave Dino. You know what? It's true. Mothers have an uncanny, God-given knack, if you will, for loving and nurturing and understanding their children. And their influence can be felt for generations to come. Today on The Tide, Pastor Duane Podiker outlines the crucial role mothers play in the lives of their children. It's all a part of his special Mother's Day message, A Mother's Influence. Let's get started.
I believe one of Satan's greatest tactics for warfare against God and his people is to keep parents from understanding the power and the impact that they have on their children. Now, the impacts that parents can have on their children can be through their thoughts of God, through their life, through other people, and how they are shaped in their lives as a child by their parent. Today, we're going to reflect on the influence of a parent, but specifically, the influence of a mother. Thomas Edison once said, "I did not have my mother very long, but she cast over me an influence which has lasted all my life." How many of you can say this morning by raising hand, "My mother has had a significant influence in my life"? My mother has had a significant influence in my life. Just about everybody here could say she has had some influence. Now, I didn't clarify whether it was a positive influence or a negative influence, but we could say most of us, if not all, have had a significant influence from our mothers. You know that influence changes over time? For example, a 4-year-old will say, "My mommy can do anything." An 8-year-old will say, "My mom knows a lot, a whole lot." A 12-year-old will say, "My mom doesn't know everything." 14-year-old, "My mom doesn't know that either." 16 years of age, "Mother? Oh man, she's out of date." 18, "Mom? Oh man, she is disconnected." 25 years of age, "Well, Mom may know. I remember her saying something about..." 35 years of age, "Before we decide, why don't we just ask Mother?" 45 years of age, I wonder what Mother would have thought about that." And 65 years of age, "I wish so bad I could sit down and talk with Mother about that." Wow. The influence of mothers. We're influenced by our mothers all the way from childhood, from the cradle to the grave. I thank God, and boy, believe me, I am. I thank God who I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience. As night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith. Now notice this next part. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Now notice there the significance of the role of a mother investing and pouring into the lives of her children. Began with the grandmother, passed on to the mother, and then on to Timothy. And Timothy became a great man of God as an apprentice under the Apostle Paul, who then launched a ministry on his own. As we consider the influence of a mother, Napoleon once said, "The future destiny of a child is the work of a mother." Wow. What is a mother supposed to do in shaping the lives of her children? A little girl was shown pictures of her mother and dad on their wedding day. And she asked her father, "Daddy, is that the day you got mommy to come and work for us?" Well, what is a mother's role in the house? There are so many things that a mother does. I don't know what they do at your house, but I'll tell you, my wife, the mother of our children, is the person who holds us together in our house. My wife was away this week. I learned a lot of things from her being away. Every time she goes away, I learn a lot of new things. I mean, I begin to realize she's the one that gets the groceries. She's the one that puts them away. She's the one that prepares the meals. She's the one that cleans up after the meal. She's the one most of the time doing the dishes. I mean, I could go on and on ad nauseum about all the things that a mom does. The role of a mother. Look here with me from this passage. Notice several things that a mother should do from this passage that we see lifted out for our consideration. I believe first and foremost, a mother should lead her children to a relationship with Christ. Amen? That should be the highest priority on the face of the earth. Lead the children to Christ. The second thing, the role of a mother, teach them how to pray. Perhaps there is no other greater thing outside of leading them to Christ in teaching them how to talk to God. It's not some form you go through. It's a conversation, open-hearted, vulnerable, transparent before God. I remember when our girls were little and we were teaching them how to pray. And that's always an interesting time when they're so little. And every night when we'd go to bed, we'd sing choruses with them. And then we'd pray with them. And eventually they were getting to the place where they had heard us pray. We were teaching them the Father's Prayer, or the Lord's Prayer. And so finally one evening, as we were tucking them into bed, we said, "Now, Rachel, you've heard us say this a lot of times." Now, you got to remember, we're living in Southern California, and we'd been up there to all the attractions and all that kind of stuff. And we said, "Okay, Rachel, you pray." She goes, "Okay. Our Father, who art in heaven, Hollywood be thy name." I mean, we just lost it. We just cracked up. I think God was kind of chuckling, as a matter of fact. The simpleness of children learning how to pray. But you know, as the days, weeks, and months went by, I began to notice as they would pray, they were saying the same things they had heard their mom and dad pray. And not only that, but as you go through life, you begin to hear them say the same things that you were saying out in your spaces, in your house, in your yard. One of the most significant things you can teach your children is to how to pray. A third thing that a mother should do, model godly character and habits. I want to remind you today that your walk is always louder than your talk. Amen? Your children will do what they see you do faster than they will say what you say. A fourth thing that a mother should do, guide them through God's word and application. You know, childhood is a wonderful time, and if you're at that stage, you can't really understand until you've passed it and it's gone to understand how valuable that stage is. But, you know, often when they're little, they want to have you read a story. And after you've read it, you hear them say, read again, mommy, read again. And I would suggest to you as parents, don't just read them secular books, fairy tales, and humorous, you know, stories. Get them Bible stories. Get them exposed to the Word, the stories of the Bible. It is amazing to me as a pastor how many people in our world today are growing up and don't know the simple, basic Bible stories. I want to encourage you, model godly character. Guide them through the Word. Number five, train children in obedience and in manners. Training our children to obey is so important. If they don't learn how to obey us as parents, how will they learn how to obey God? If they don't understand there is consequences for disobeying a parent, how can they understand the consequence of disobeying God? I want to challenge you as parents today that when your children disobey, there needs to be some sort of consequence so they understand that when we disobey our Heavenly Father, there also will be consequences there. A distinguished French officer once asked Washington's mother how she managed to rear such a splendid son. She replied, "Well, I taught him how to obey." And I believe in our world that is such a need to teach children again how to obey. A sixth thought on things that a mother should do. establish in the children, establish respect for others and their possessions. If you've ever been around children that have not been taught how to respect others or to respect others' possession, you know how uncomfortable it can be. It's downright ugly sometimes. Moms, dads, it is our responsibility to train our children, even when they're young, to respect other people. And I can think back to growing up in Africa, and what a great heritage I have. Because when we went to school, and when we met an adult on the sidewalk, or an adult came into a classroom, if we were seated, immediately we had to stand. And we had to say, "Good morning, sir," or "Good morning, ma'am." And if we passed someone out on the sidewalk or the playground, and we passed an adult, we'd have to take off our hat as boys and say, "Good afternoon, sir. Good afternoon, ma'am." The issues of respect that we have so lost in our society need to somehow be put back in, poured back in to the children of our society today, where there is so much, such a lack of respect. I remember the feelings coming back from Africa. There was such high respect in our school system. Coming back and going back into the school system here, I was, as a teenager even, appalled at the lack of respect for adults, or lack of respect for others, lack of respect for others' possessions. If it was down on the floor and it wasn't yours, kick it, destroy it, pick it up, throw it in the trash. It's not mine. We need to somehow teach our children to respect other people and to respect others' possessions. Seventh, leave a godly legacy and heritage. One of the wonderful privileges that we have as moms and as dads is to shape the clay that we are molding. I believe I have on your outline the definition of the word legacy and of heritage. Legacy means something received from an ancestor or predecessor. Something received. Heritage means something transmitted or acquired from an heir or predecessor. Something transmitted. I think that's an awesome privilege for us as a mom and dad to transmit to us these concepts that I've shared with you. A relationship with Christ, the importance of reading God's Word, in prayer, character, habits, respect, obedience, leaving behind a legacy in our children. That word mother, wow, what a word. A word whose meaning cannot be fully explained and perhaps never will be exhausted. Mothers hold and shape the future because of the power of their influence. I would suggest to you today that there has never been a greater time for godly mothers and their influence than in our world today. Several years ago, one of the nation's leaders said, "The home is the first great training school in behavior or misbehavior, and parents serve as the first teachers." He continued, "Here is the spade work. Here is where the spade work is laid for instilling in the child those values which will cause him or her to develop into an upright, law-abiding, wholesome citizen. He must learn respect for others, respect for property, courtesy, truthfulness, and reliability. He must learn not only to manage his own affairs, but also to share in the responsibility for the affairs of others and the community. He must be taught to understand the necessity of obeying the laws of God." Now, as I read through that, I see within that not only a responsibility, but an incredible privilege. I'd like to share with you as we finish the message today, look at the second half of the message today, how can a mother maximize her influence? I would like to suggest these things. To maximize or make the most of your influence, a mother must decide these things. First of all, a mother must decide to love. To love. A 36-year-old mother was discovered to be in the advanced stages of terminal cancer. One doctor advised her to spend her remaining days on a beach in Acapulco. But a second physician offered the hope of living 2 to 4 years with side effects of chemotherapy and radiation treatment. And the mother, after making a decision, penned these words to her children. I have chosen to try to survive for you. This has some horrible costs, including pain, loss of my good humor, and moods I won't be able to control. But I must try this, if only on the outside chance that I might live 1 minute longer. And the minute could be the one you might need me, when no one else will do. For this I intend to struggle, tooth and nail. So help me, God. A mother's love. Who can describe it? Willingness to lay down her own life and willing to go beyond the call of duty for the sake of her children because of love. Perhaps on the face of this earth, there is no greater representation of the love of God than in the love seen in a mother. In Titus chapter 2, verses 3 through 4, it says, the older women can train the younger women to love their husbands and children. You see, ladies and gentlemen, love is not just something that comes natural, although there are some things that, as men and women, we are very different. Love is something we learn. And love is not a feeling. Love is not an emotion. Love is a decision. And just like when a child is born into the home, and that little thing takes all of your time and dirties diapers, and, you know, you need to feed it and care for it, instantaneously there might be a fascination. But I would like to suggest that instantaneously there is not a deep love. Love comes through a decision of serving and giving, of sacrificing. Love. Moms, to maximize your influence, I call you to make a decision to love. Secondly, to maximize your influence, you need to make a decision to teach. To teach. Proverbs 1:8 says, listen, my son, to your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. A London editor submitted a list of those who had been Winston Churchill's teachers to verify before him, before they would be printed, people would want to know who had taught Winston Churchill. And so he scanned down over the list of teachers in his life, and after he had looked over it, he sent it back with this comment. You have omitted the greatest teacher of my life, my mother. And perhaps it would be safe for all of us to say, the greatest teacher in our life was our mother. Four, to maximize your influence, a mother must decide to correct. Proverbs 29:15, the rod of correction imparts wisdom, but a child left to himself disgraces his mother. It's unfortunate, but many times, if not most of the time, a mother is the one that's left to discipline. Mom, I want to encourage you. Don't always say, wait till your dad gets home. But if it gets to the point where you must, make sure that discipline is carried through. A mother must learn how to correct her child. And I am convinced that if a mother learns to do it when a child is young, there won't be such a struggle as they get older. To maximize an influence, number four, a mother must decide to care. To care. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 7 says, but we were gentle among you, like a mother caring for her little children. God puts something in a mother's heart that is sometimes absent from a father's heart. It's that ability to care, to go beyond. It goes along with the next one that I want to give you. Number five, a mother must decide to have compassion. Compassion. Isaiah 49:15 says, can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? There is something about a mother that at least I don't have as a man. You know, as a man, I tend to think bottom line. You make the statement. Make the decision. Declare it. And it's over. It's done. I will often say goodnight. And regardless of how the situation might be in the house, I've said goodnight and I will be off to bed. But it is the mother's heart in my wife who might say to me, honey, why don't you slip up and talk to your daughter? Or, do you really feel that way? And she brings me in check and brings me back in balance because of her care and because of her compassion. And wisdom would say, listen to your wife. A sixth thing to maximize your influence as moms, decide to comfort. Decide to comfort. Isaiah 66:13 says, as a mother comforts her child, so will I comfort you. I have to admit, when I was going through the difficulties of my cancer journey, I didn't really think of my father comforting me. Do you know who I thought about comforting me? My mother. There is something special and unique about a mother's comfort. I don't know how many of you have seen this book, but I've had it now for several years. It's called Love You Forever. Oh my goodness. The first time I got it and read it, I didn't really get it. I thought, well, what's the big deal? Why did my mom send me a little kid's book? But then I read it again. And then again. And then again. And again. And again. And every time I have read this book, it brings new meaning and new depth and new appreciation to me. It's a story that talks about this mother having a little baby. And as she begins the story, she has this little baby in her hands. She says, a mother held her baby and very slowly rocked him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And while she held him, she sang, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And then they go through the stages of childhood as the young boy grows up. And she gets him even as a young boy and does the same thing. And then as a teenager. And then again as a young man. She holds him as this young man, even though he's crawled into bed. And I kind of thought it was a little weird at that point. You know, here's this grown teenager. She slips into the bedroom at night and she picks him up out of bed and starts rocking him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Singing, I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. But then it goes on through his marriage years. And you see, I began to understand this love and this compassion and the comfort that only a mother could give. And this story goes on. While he's a married man, she would get up in the middle of the night and she'd drive across town and she'd crawl through the window of her son's house. Okay, it's a little hokey. She'd crawl through the window, and as he's laying there in bed beside his wife, she'd go over and silently pick him up and carry him over to the rocking chair, and she'd do the same thing. Rock him back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And she would sing him that little song, I'll love you forever, I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. And as I've read that so many times and through the difficulties of life and through the various stages of my life, I began to recognize there is a depth of a mother's love that most, if not all, men don't have. And we're approaching the beginning of the last chapter of the book, and the last chapter of the book is now when his mother is weak and in her bed, and he gets in his car, and he drives across town, and he slips into that room, and he picks his weak little mother up out of that bed, and he takes her over to a rocking chair. And all of the things that had been poured into his life from his mother, he picks her up in that rocking chair and he begins to rock her back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And he sings her the song that she sang to him for so many years, so many times. I'll love you forever. I'll like you for always. As long as I'm living, my baby you'll be. A mother's love. A mother's love.
A middle-aged man was asked by a friend if he loved his mother the way he should have. I did, he replied, but not until after she was gone. Well, let's not miss a single opportunity to show gratitude to our mothers. They deserve all the praise and honor we can muster. As we close out today's broadcast, let's join Don Schenck, who's standing by with a remarkable woman of God.
Today we have a very special visitor with us in the studio. I have with me Manjula Raul, who is our follow-up coordinator for our broadcasts in India. That means that she's responsible to oversee and deal with all of the correspondence that comes in from listeners to our 7 programs there. Welcome, Manju.
Thank you.
It's good to have you with us here today. The first question I want to ask you is, how do you deal with 7 different languages?
First of all, I want to thank God that radio broadcasts reach people wherever they are. And radio ministry is very effective, and it's an appropriate way of reaching the masses. In addition to the program over the air, the Gospel Tidar in India send out radio message booklets and Bible correspondence courses and literature, gospel portions, New Testaments to the listeners, and we also try to respond to the requests for their spiritual needs and advise them to read the Bible, and we try to counsel them.
So these are all the various things that you do for the listeners who write in.
Yes.
Approximately how many letters do you deal with each week?
Each week we deal with around 50 to 60 letters.
Now, do you have many listeners who then continue to correspond with
yes.
you?
Yes. First of all, when we send them letters, many of them write us back that they want to know more about Christ and send. So you send us some literature. So then we send them a Bible correspondence course. They do the lessons and they send us back. And after that, we send them a New Testament. And when again they write to us, then we try to contact them either personally or through letters. And we try to conduct Seekers Conference.
Let me close up with a question. How can we best be supporting you and praying for you in your ministry?
First of all, we need your prayers for the for India, the country which is dominated by the power of Satan and darkness, because there are so many religions and Hindu is the prominent religion. And we see that there are temples everywhere, especially in Odisha where we live, there are temples in every corner wherever you go. So it's our desire to reach out to the people with the gospel of Christ. And we need your prayers and we need your support. And we know that the Lord will continue to guide us and bless us. And if we work together, the Lord will bless our efforts to reach the unreached ones.
Jesus asked us to make disciples and not merely to make converts. You see, with each gift you send on behalf of this project in India, you're walking in obedience to that command. To make a donation or to pledge your prayer support, please call us today toll-free at 1-877-859-5484. That's 1-877-859-5484. And remember, when you call with a gift of any size, we will gladly send you a tape or a CD of today's lesson, A Mother's Influence. Just ask for lesson number 0319. That's lesson number 0319. Call us today or write to us at The Tide, P.O. Box 399, Chambersburg, Pennsylvania, 17201. And in Canada, write to us at P.O. Box 2513, Station B, Richmond Hill, Ontario, L4E1A6. To hear an encore presentation of today's message or to find out more about our missions activities around the world, log on to our website at www.gospeltide.org. Now, have you ever wondered why so many marriages fail? Well, one reason is because problems are not detected or admitted soon enough. To find out how to overcome even the slightest of marital problems, be sure to join us again next week for Dwayne's message, Reviving Your Marriage. Until then, I'm Dave Dino, thanking you for listening to The Tide, touching hearts on shores worldwide.